You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagorovic Carucci, time to hand out some grades on the offensive line. Notorious, how you want to do this? You want to go group or individual, or obviously we're going to do both, but
let's,
where do you want to start?
Do both. Yeah, let's do individual.
Okay.
And then we'll do group.
So we'll start with Joe Thomas.
And then we'll each give our one on each guy.
I'm going to give Joe Thomas an A-. And people are going to say, what? An A-. Joe Thomas, to me, one of the best pass-blocking left tackles in the NFL. Okay. Obviously, that is massively important. I don't want to take anything away from that. He was third in Pro Football Focus's pass-blocking efficiency rank amongst all starting offensive tackles. I thought he did a phenomenal job this season, 96%, kept a couple of people away, only 2 sacks allowed, 9 hits allowed. He's great. I think he's an A++ pass blocker. I think he's probably somewhere in the B range as a run blocker.
Right.
And I think that's why I don't give him, maybe I'll give him an A, but I don't give him the A++. Obviously one of the best tackles in the game, and it is a pass-oriented league, and one of the best pass-blocking tackles in the game. The one stat, and we'll get into this when we go in through the whole thing with this line, but here's the one thing that bothers me about this team. When you break it down, there was not a single position that the Browns ran behind, whether it be left tackle, left guard, et cetera, anywhere on the field where they averaged more than 4 yards per carry. There wasn't even a single running lane that they produced 4 yards a carry all season. 3.4 behind Thomas last year. And when I look at the numbers, this is the one that jumps out to me. And you tell me what this makes you think about this line, because I'm gonna grade pass blocking, run blocking. The Cleveland Browns, the average in the NFL, the average running back, and this is everybody who touched the ball in the National Football League.
And this is according to Pro Football Focus.
Average going 2 yards with the football before first taking contact. The Cleveland Browns averaged 1.2 yards. So when you think about it in a small scale, that's a massive percentage.
It is.
That's a massive percentage.
It's so telling you guys are getting hit way too early.
Right.
Okay. So solid A for me for Joe Thomas. I'm going to judge him the way I think you judge Joe. Joe was brought here and has essentially been the most important element of the pass protection of the Browns, the blind side of the quarterback, all those things taken into consideration. What you're asking him to do, what you're paying him to do, making him the highest paid player on the team to do is just that, and he does it extremely well, consistently well. He is not my pick for a great run blocker. No one on a line that, as you just pointed out, that has those kinds of numbers and beyond the very low and atrocious numbers of rushing yards should deserve any high marks for that. But for what Joe is, I give Joe the A. Let's move on.
All right, we'll move on now, and we will go and look at the left guard, John Greco. I'm going to give John Greco a B-. I wanted to give him a C+, but I thought that he was maybe a little more solid than that. But it's in that range to me. He's right on the cusp, 79-80 for me. I wanted more from him. And the reason I say that is last year in the games that got him that start and got him the contract extension, he was a phenomenal run blocker. The team averaged 4.7 yards per carry running behind John Greco last season, 2012. 2013, they averaged 3.4 yards per carry running behind John Greco. And I thought that he struggled a little bit in that aspect of things. I thought as a pass blocker, I was happy with him as a pass blocker. I thought that he was solid there. Again, this is a line that was much better as a pass blocking line than it was as a run blocking line. But he still gave up, amongst all guards, 6 sacks, which was tied for the 6th most. And he gave up 10 quarterback hits, tied for the 3rd most. So actually, you know what? As I dive into it here, I'm going to give him a C+. I was a little underwhelmed by John Greco. I wanted more out of him. And I hope that this offseason, he knows that he didn't live up to maybe what he should have this year and gets back to the basics and that nasty attitude that helped him be a little bit better in 2012 before he got paid.
C+ for me, for John Greco. I always was there. I think he is just that, a workmanlike kind of player. I think you need a John Greco on your team. Is he a starter for this football team?
I think
you can seek better.
I think
you've got to seek better at the guard position. I'm dissatisfied with the guard position as a whole.
Agreed.
I could live with Greco as a starter, but I'd prefer this team to make a strong effort, and I believe they will. In fact, I know one of the regrets of the personnel staff, as I was talking with people on the sidelines during training camp, was the one area they thought they wished they had addressed more aggressively, or just addressed, was offensive guard, and didn't do so for this past season. So I think it is going to be something that's going to be a priority this year. I give him a C+.
I do want to commend him, though. Only two penalties called against him all year.
Smart
that
player.
Was good.
Yeah.
Smart player. I think John Greco can be very effective for your team when he's of the five guys you have on your offensive line. If he's your fourth or fifth best offensive lineman, I think you're in probably pretty good shape. Especially if he's your fifth best offensive lineman, I think you're in very good
shape.
Totally agree. You can get by with him, yes. All right, let's go to center now. Alex Mack. I'm going to give him an A. I thought that he was outstanding this season. One of the top-rated centers in all of the NFL by Pro Football Focus this year. I thought he was a good pass blocker. Thought he was our best run blocker and did the best that he could in that, given that he was surrounded by guards who I thought really were struggling in that department to first and foremost. So I was okay with him. He was the best graded run blocker on the team, again, according to Pro Football Focus. The team ran behind him quite a bit. Again, not the yards per carry you want to see, but they did do a decent enough job. Great pass blocker. He's the quarterback of the line. We know he's very good at calling the protections. To me, priority one for this front office right now, before we get into bringing in free agents from elsewhere, is getting Alex Mack back on this team and locked up as a member of the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, Alex Mack is one of the best centers in the game. He's an A-plus center in my book. I think he does it all for you. Physically, everything you could ask for the position, he's fulfills.
He's a professional,
he's
yes.
Right. He's a consummate pro. He's the definition of consummate pro. And then it's the mental part of it, and that's the underappreciated part of it. The offensive line, the center is the quarterback of your line, and in many ways I've also heard him referred to as sort of like that co-quarterback of your entire offense, because the two have to really be joined and be of one mind. A lot of those blocking calls that are made have to be done precisely. He has to stay calm and deal with the noise on the road and all those things, and I think Alex Mack does that extraordinarily well. And I urge this team, I implore this team to make sure Alex Mack doesn't go anywhere, because I think Alex Mack is a critical part of, and whoever's coaching this team, you want that guy in the middle. There are not many great centers in the National Football League. He's one of them.
I agree, and that's why I think it's so important to bring him back. It will keep the continuity on the line, and I think he makes the guys around him better. And if you were to surround him with a great right guard, I think you're going to be in very good shape. Because right now we've handed out two A's and a C+. I think when we get to the right guard position, overall the position I think would have to be graded as a D. If then maybe that's kind. O'Neal Cousins, that did not work out. Garrett Gilkey did not work out. Sean Laval, I thought, really struggled this year. I thought that he did not play to the level that you would have hoped to see from him in a limited time. Gave up 4 sacks, 4 hits, 18 quarterback hurries. Was graded as one of the worst run blockers in the NFL at the guard position. I thought Jason Pinkston showed some promise as the guy that could be your swing guard backup. And I wouldn't mind seeing him back in that role. But again, you have to wonder about his health condition and how far he is going to be able to go for your team going forward. But to me, from this guard position, Greco's the only one I want back. And definitely, I think Pinkston, like I said, could be that swing backup guard. But really, right guard to me, if you look at this line after getting Alex Mack, the number two priority for this organization should be to get a dominant run blocking. And yes, he can be mobile, as Doug Deacon said, but just a dominant right guard to solidify this line, solidify the interior. Because if let's say it is John Football, you're going to need to be able to protect the front of that pocket there, and you're going to be running a lot of stuff where there are going to be designed inside handoffs or quarterback draws, etc., where the interior of that offensive line is going to be as important to your running game as the exterior is to the passing game. And I think that that will be something that must be addressed.
D is probably the right grade for that right guard spot, and it's hard to pin it just on one guy. It became a revolving door. The fact that there were alternate players at the position in the latter stages of the season, including a Garrett Gilkey, you got really young there. You were trying anything and everything to fix that spot. And Sean Laval, I'll give him credit for
the
toughness. Yeah, yep. He fought through injuries. He brings that attitude thing, that edge thing we were talking about, but it never really took hold because in addition to just being an edgy type of player and physical, you got to be good. You got to back it up with play. You have more credibility when your talent shows up along with your attitude, and that's where it fell short, I thought, for Sean Laval. And then the position as a whole, the Browns just never got right. I think it goes back again. It harkens back to the questions that the team had internally and regrets of addressing it this year. How it could have or what it would have done, I can't really say. But I think there was a skittish feeling, to say the least, about that position going, the guard position
and
in general.
And to be the one thing, to be fair, they did try to make that move in the preseason for the guard from Seattle. His name is eluding me right now.
Who was our guy from Seattle?
Moffitt. John Moffitt came in and then ended up it didn't work out, didn't pass the physical. So they did try to address it, but at that point I think it was just too late. And it really hindered the team's development, I think, especially those first 2 weeks, two games that when you look back on it were maybe pretty winnable even without Josh Gordon in the right guard spot was basically like a swinging gate. It compromised Mitchell Schwartz. He didn't play well in those games either, which brings us to Mitchell Schwartz now, the right tackle, a guy who I mentioned at the beginning of the season struggled, and I mean really, really struggled to get the job done for the Cleveland Browns. When the season is over and you look at the final stats, you'll see 11 sacks allowed by Mitchell Schwartz, second most among all tackles. Quarterback hits, 19 for Mitchell Schwartz, most among all tackles. But it was truly a tale of two seasons, and I, for one, am much more excited about a guy who gets better as the season progresses. We know he played through injury. Mitchell Schwartz, though, gave up of those 11 sacks, nine of them came in the first eight games. Nine in the first eight games, two in the last eight games. Of the 19 quarterback hits, 13 in the first eight games, six in the last eight games. So massive improvement from him as the season wore on. Again, run blocking wasn't the strength, but in terms of picking up his play as a pass blocker, he did it, and I feel okay about him. I'm going to give him a B-. I feel okay with Mitchell Schwartz going forward as the right guard, right tackle of this team, and I thought the way that he rebounded from what really was a dreadful start to the season and getting a lot of heat, I'm sure internally as well as externally, to turn it around like he did down the second half, I thought was very impressive. He was not the reason the Browns failed to win after the bye against the Baltimore Ravens.
I thought I'm giving him a passing grade. That would be a C. I'm not as enamored with his performance as you are, but I also don't think it was a train wreck. I think he overcame a lot, including the injuries to which Doug Deacon referred that he was dealing with. I think for all the linemen, it was an exercise of massive proportions to overcome the revolving door at quarterback. That's I think one of the big unspoken problems with this line is dealing with different people back there. Granted, you got to protect whoever is behind center, but there were pretty big variations between who these guys were, their levels of experience, their levels of play and performance, and the synchronization, the timing. All of that was destroyed by the fact that you had three different guys starting six different games, and I think that made life difficult, especially for a Mitchell Schwartz, who was still trying to find his way in his second year. But I thought he made improvement over his first season. I think he had a lot to overcome. I don't believe that the current regime loves this guy as much as the previous one did at all. So, you know, hopefully for his sake, he did more to convince that group that he's got a place on this football team, but I think he's still going to fight that uphill battle. I think this team will consider tackle a need going into the offseason.
Now, if he can transition inside and they want to have a tackle, I think if Mitchell Schwartz can transition inside and become a guard, that's fine with me too. I certainly think he has some talent, former second-round pick, and I love the fact, as I said, guys who finish stronger than they started, and he had a dreadful first half. Yeah. I think a very solid second half. Wasn't flagged for a penalty in any of the final six games. Really cleaned up his play. I think it helped him to get some stability next to him at guard, but really cleaned up his play, and I thought that's why he got to a B- for me, because I think if you grade the first half of the season, it would have been terrible. Second half of the season wasn't an A, but it was so much better and showed improvement. That's what I want to see carry into next year. So for me, when you look at this line, Thomas Stalwart must be there, A, at left tackle. Got to get Alex Mack back at center. He gets an A. You know, address the guard position significantly. If it means you can get two guys who end up being great, phenomenal, and then Greco can be your backup. Or I think John Greco was fine starting there. Right guard must be addressed. Right tackle is interesting. And the guy that was brought up by Doug Deacon, Chris Falk from LSU, somebody to be interested. I know they're very high on his physical talents and capabilities once he gets healthy. So we'll see what happens if he's able to do that.
So, all right, we've got coming up is Gerard Cherry, and it is CBD. Vic Nathan, ESPN 850.